in Proverbs chapter 10 again. Been kind of going through the book of Proverbs here on Wednesday nights. And we've been in this 10th chapter for a little bit here, and I'm trying to hit some of the topical things that Proverbs talks about as we deal with the subject of wisdom from above. And so Proverbs chapter 10, we'll read two verses tonight. And this is kind of a little bit, you might hear a few things that will show you it's an extension of an earlier message that pertained to the same topic here in Proverbs. So again, this will go a little bit different direction. So at Proverbs chapter 10, while they're giving that out, I'd like to encourage you to buy a calendar. This is a 2022 calendar. That is the King James Bible verses with some beautiful pictures here. I don't know if you can see it from there, but if you pick it up, this is a nice calendar. I've had some calendars that, you know, are okay, and you know, and I think, are they still $7.50? I think maybe they're not a dollar tonight. No, $7.50. But these are nice; last your whole year. And I don't know. Do people use calendars anymore? I do. Who does not use a calendar anymore? Oh, well, okay. Most people do. Good. I thought I was kind of weird, but I do too. I like it. I don't know. I still write things down on a list. I don't know why. I can put it on my phone. I don't know. It's just the way I am. Who cares, right? All right. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 6. Notice the Bible says, "Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot." That's pretty strong words.
Amen.
But it's God's words.
Amen.
All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness. I pray tonight as I give forth the message that I trust you've led me to preach tonight, that you'd help me, Lord, fill me afresh and anew with thy spirit. I pray your word would go forth, Lord, with power and clarity tonight and have free course in our hearts this evening. And I pray, Lord, on the receiving side, that all of us, including this preacher, would receive the truth that you have for us tonight. Amen. Lord, not just with a nod of the head this evening, but with a change of the life. Yes. And so, again, use this message for your glory. Guide and direct as I preach now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. You know, since the Garden of Eden, there has been a battle over the souls of men.
Amen.
There has been. And the battle for the souls of men is really a battle for the hearts of men.
Good.
It absolutely is. I want you to think about it for a moment. Here on the one side, you have our God, the one true and living God.
Amen.
Proclaiming to man, Matthew 11, 28, 29, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls." That's our God calling to us. Romans 8, 13, "For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live." So here we have our God, again, the one true and living God, who says to us, "Get saved and live for me, and you won't regret it."
Praise the Lord.
That's what he says.
Amen.
"I'll give you a home in heaven," he says. "I'll bless your life."
Amen.
"If you'd simply follow me."
Right.
But then on the other side, we have the devil. We have Satan that is proclaiming to man a totally different thing. He says in Genesis chapter 3, "Ye shall not surely die." May I rephrase that in my own words? Don't believe God. That's what he's saying. "Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So we have on this side the world and the flesh and the devil saying this: you don't need God. It's proclaiming, live for yourself. Do as you please. You don't need anyone to tell you what to do. And this is a great battle that mankind faces.
Amen.
This choice.
Right.
Who are we going to listen to? And by the way, this battle doesn't end when you get saved.
Right.
It does not end. God calls the believer, those of us that know the Lord Jesus Christ, as Savior, to live by his word.
Amen.
do what he says. And the devil calls the believer to live by anything but God's word.
Right.
Anything else will do, he says. Just don't live by God's word. It's a battle that the Bible describes in our text here as a battle between, notice, living the life of the just and living the life of the wicked. Let's look at it again. Notice verse 6. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. And the question is for all of us, which will it be? Which life will we choose?
Amen.
Will we choose the life of the just? Or will we choose the life of the wicked? And I want to preach on this subject, as you see in your handout this evening, the wisdom of living the just life.
Amen.
There's wisdom in that.
Amen.
For some time now, we've been dealing with the subject of wisdom from above, wisdom from God. I've gotten the title from James chapter 3, where the Bible says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without
Amen.
Partiality and without hypocrisy. That's God's wisdom.
Amen.
See, wisdom from above is the wisdom that we get from the one true and living God, the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, holy and righteous God. And the place that we find his wisdom is in his word.
Amen.
Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. There's no other place to find God's
Amen.
Wisdom. But then there's a false wisdom that is masquerading, if you will, as true wisdom. It's what the Bible refers to as the wisdom of this world, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. It's wisdom that descendeth not from above, according to James chapter 3 and verse 15. And this so-called wisdom is described as earthly, as sensual, and even as devilish.
Right.
It's a masquerade. It's fake. It's a farce. It is the product of fallen man's ideas. It is the product of the philosophies of men that are rooted in humanism and the anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-Bible thinking. It's what the Bible calls the wisdom of this world.
Right.
God tells us what he thinks of the wisdom of this world.
Amen.
He says in 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God.
Amen.
So our choice of which wisdom to follow really should be a no-brainer, shouldn't it? And we should get it. Yes, I'm going to follow wisdom from above.
Amen.
Now, here in our text, we find a contrast between these two ways of life that we see. Again, we see the life of the just and the life of the wicked, and we see the impending results that follow as we choose to follow one or the other. And I want to encourage us tonight to use and follow God's wisdom from
Amen.
Above and choose living the just life.
Amen.
The question is, will we? Notice number one, if you would please, write it down, the clarification of the just life. What is this thing he's talking about here? Who is the just that he's speaking of? Well, twice in our text, verses 6 and verse 7, the phrase the just is used. Notice them with me, verse 6. Blessings are upon the head of the just. Then in verse 7, the memory of the just is blessed.
Right.
21 more times in the book of Proverbs, we find this phrase, or these people, if you will, the just mentioned. Matter of fact, over 270 times in the Bible, the just is mentioned as well. Who are the just? What does that mean? And what exactly is this just life that he's talking about? Well, let's look, first of all, letter A, at its definition. What are we talking about here? The word just comes from the Hebrew word tzaddik and the Greek word diakonos, Old Testament and New Testament. These words, the Hebrew and the Greek, are both translated into a few different English words. Sometimes it's translated into the word just, other times into the word right or righteous. Righteous. Sometimes it's speaking of a just man. And the word means this, according to Strong's Concordance, it means innocent. It means holy. It means equitable in character or act. It means righteous. That's what it means. Webster's 1828 dictionary defines just as this, upright and honest. Someone having principles of morality. Listen to this. Conforming exactly to the laws and principles of society, giving regard to the laws of God. I like that last part.
Amen.
It says a just person is. Somebody that gives regard to the laws of God. Now understand something. Biblically speaking, there are two ways that the word just is used. First of all, number one, there is being someone who is positionally just. Now what does that mean, to be positionally just? It means that you have been a person that is positionally just is someone that has been declared righteous by God. It is someone that has been justified in the eyes of God. You've heard the phrase, justified, just as if I never sinned. Another put it this way, just as if I were never a sinner.
Amen.
In other words, someone who is positionally just is someone that God sees as a righteous, just man. How in the world does that happen? It happens when we get saved. When someone comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, you see, the moment that I got saved, the moment that you got saved, if you're here tonight saved, you became positionally justified. I like that.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 6:9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, quite a lineup here, huh? Shall inherit the kingdom of God. Watch this. And such were some of you. Can you imagine? He's talking to these believers at Corinth. He's saying, some of you were fornicators, some of you were idolaters, some of you were adulterers, some of you were effeminate, abusers of yourselves with mankind, some of you were thieves and covetousness and covetous and drunkards and revilers and extortioners. Then he goes on to say, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Imagine that account of their sin, of all that they did, was washed away, gone, 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 and they were all declared righteous by a holy God. How could he justly do that? Jesus Christ, that's how.
Amen.
The work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary, Acts 13:39. Listen closely, and by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So understand something very important tonight. If you are here tonight and you have been truly born again, if you have truly repented of your sin and received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, no matter how good or bad of a Christian you are justified in the eyes of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I like that. That gets me a little excited, amen?
Amen?
You know, a Bible example of someone who was a saved man but not living for God would be Abraham's nephew Lot. You see, that man lived a wicked life. He did. He absolutely did. But we read in 2 Peter 2:7, the Bible says, and delivered just Lot. That word just doesn't mean, well, just Lot. It means justified Lot. And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. Again, Lot was someone who may not have been living right, and he wasn't, but he was positionally just in the eyes of a holy God because he was saved.
Amen.
So my question tonight is this, are you? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Could you say, I am positionally just in the eyes of God because there was a time in my life that I repented of my sin and trusted Jesus Christ as Savior? I hope so. If not, get it taken care of tonight. And you can sing, gone, 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 my sins are all gone. Amen. Because of Jesus Christ. But there's a second aspect to this word just. Not only is it used to describe someone positionally just, it also is used to describe someone that is practically just. You say, what do you mean by that? In other words, for the Christian, it means that someone that is not only saved, they're not only positionally just, but they are also practically living a life that is pleasing to God. In other words, they're striving to live by God's command. They want to do right. They want to live for God. And that's what this text is speaking of. It is speaking of a believer who has consciously chosen, I am going to, by God's grace, follow the Lord. I want to obey His word. I want to be a true disciple of a true follower of Jesus Christ. And that person has chosen, if he's chosen that, he's chosen wisdom from above to live his life and to live by a biblical standard. You know, there are many people and Bible examples of people that were both positionally and practically just. Someone that was not only saved, but they made that choice. I am going to choose to live this just life that the Lord is speaking of throughout His Word. You say, like who? Like Noah. We read in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9, the Bible says these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. So again, Noah was not only justified, positionally righteous in the eyes of God through trusting in the Lord and the Messiah to come, he was also practically trying to live that life pleasing to God. He chose the just life, if you will. Joseph was another man, Mary's husband. The Bible says in Matthew 1:19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. Oh, we could go on and on. John the Baptist, another one, was described as a just man also. Mark chapter 6 and verse 20, for Herod feared John, knowing that he, John, was a just man and holy, and observed him. And when he heard him, he did many things and heard him gladly. So again, there's many people in the Bible that are described as those that are positionally just, but also practically just. Again, have chosen that wisdom from above to live for the Lord. By the way, if you are in any leadership position, a parent, a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, someone looked up to, this is the path that God wants you to choose. Amen. You say, well, I'm positionally just. Yes, but have you chosen to be practically just as well? 2 Samuel 23:3 reads this, the God of Israel said, the rock of Israel spake to me. Watch this. He that ruleth over men. I know in interpretations talking about the king, but we can apply this to anyone. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Amen. God wants every leader to choose living the just life. This is the path He wants all of us to choose. So it's definition. This is the definition of just. But then letter B, would you write this down too? It's opposition. Well, there's an opposing side to this. Again, notice the contrast we read in our passage tonight. Blessings in verse 6 are upon the head of the just, that those that, again, choose to live for the Lord. But violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Second contrast in verse 7, the memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. Now here in our text, we see the antithesis of the just life. And the Bible calls it this, the wicked life. Amen. So you have on one end of the spectrum, the just life, or perhaps we could say one side of the coin, and the other side of the coin, you have what the Bible calls the wicked life. This life is mentioned in 87 verses in the book of Proverbs. It's also mentioned in 326 verses in the entire Bible. What's he talking about, this wicked? What's he talking about? Well, we know the Bible describes the devil as the wicked one. We get that. We'd all nod our head in agreement to that. The devil, oh yes, he is wicked. 1 John 2:14, I have written unto you fathers because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you young men because ye are strong and the word of God abideth in you and ye have overcome the wicked one. There it is. Talking about the devil there. By faith we can overcome the wicked one. By the way, the Antichrist is also described, the coming Antichrist in the person, of course, of the Antichrist, is also described as wicked as well. We read in 2 Thessalonians 2:8, and then shall that wicked be revealed. But understand, in our text here tonight, he's not talking about the devil. He's not talking about the coming Antichrist. He's talking about people. People. Well, who's that? You know, when we think of the word wicked as it pertains to people, we often only think of someone who has committed some sort of heinous crime. We'll think and we'll say, well, that person's wicked. I mean, they were a child abuser or perhaps someone that abused their spouse. Or we'll think of someone in our mind that was a serial murderer or the like. And we'd say, well, they are wicked. And they are wicked, by the way. Certainly all of us would consider that wicked. But I may shock you tonight by saying this. Biblically speaking, the definition of the word wicked is much broader in scope than that. It's defined this way. Listen to Webster's 1828 dictionary definition of the word wicked. One who deviates from the divine law. I don't like that definition. I like the one about the Antichrist a lot better than the devil. So biblically speaking, when we're talking about someone that is wicked, we're talking about a habitual lifestyle here. We've all committed wicked acts. We get that. But we're talking about, when we talk about this wicked life, it's someone that chooses to live a life pattern that deviates from the divine law. They consciously choose to live this pattern against God's word, deviating from what he says. It is someone who lives a pattern of self-will that rejects God's path and follows his own path. And is bent on going their own way. You and I on the surface may not consider that wicked, but God does.
Amen.
God does. If someone shakes their fist at God and says, I'm going my own way, that is a wicked choice.
Right.
And that's what he's talking about here. It's that pattern of life. So I ask you tonight, which pattern describes you or me? Do we have a pattern of, I want to obey the Lord. I want to do the right thing. I want to live and choose to live this just life. Or do we say, no, I want to do my own thing. That's what I want to do. Well, I assume because you're here tonight, at least that's a point in your favor. But how about your lifestyle and my lifestyle? When we're home, when we're out and about, or do we say in our hearts, I want to do the right thing. I want to live for God. That's the choice of the just life. So we see, number one, the clarification of the just life. Number two, and I just gave you the word. Number two, write this down on the back page. The choice to live the just life. So we learned what the just life is. We saw its definition. We saw its opposition. Then we see also the choice to live this just life. You know, the life that you are going to live and the life that I'm going to live is our own personal choice.
Amen.
It is. Every individual must decide for themselves. It's not your parents' choice. It's not your teacher's choice. It's not your pastor's choice. It's not your friend's choice or your sibling's choice. It is yours. You have to choose yourself. Which direction am I going to go? No one can choose it for you. And again, you're going to choose, and again, I'm talking about this habitual lifestyle here. You're going to choose either to live the life of the just or live the life of the wicked.
Amen.
Now, there's two things that we must understand as we look at this crossroads, if you will, this fork in the road about choosing the just life. If you say, well, I'm looking at that, and what about this one, this just life? Well, notice, first of all, letter A, it's the life that God desires. Here tonight, you want to please the Lord? Live the just life. It's that simple.
Amen.
You see, throughout the Bible, God commands his children. He implores his children. He even beseeches his children, which really means to plead or to beg. He pleads with us, commands us to choose to live the just life, to live for him, to follow his word. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, take your hands off the reins of your life and let God control it. Make yourself a living sacrifice. Say, God, it's not about me. It's not about my will. It's not about what I want to do. Whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do. That's the choice of a just life. It's what God desires. Amen. By the way, it's the best way to go. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Again, I'm trying to show you that God doesn't force any of us, but he does desire us to do that. By the way, we don't get to heaven by trying to live the just life. Amen. That's not how anybody gets to heaven. But if we want to please the one that saved us, then we will choose to live the just life. You see, a person that has chosen the just life will make the Bible his standard. It's not about what other Christians are doing. It's not about what other churches are doing. It's not about what this person says or this person says. The only question we have to answer is, what does the Bible say about this? Amen. And when we see what the Bible says, we choose to follow it. That's the just life. And by the way, when we do that, that means we'll make church attendance a priority. That's Amen. The just life. Right. We'll tithe as the Bible tells us to tithe Amen. And not grumble about it. We'll witness, we'll try to witness and give the gospel out to those we run into contact with. That's living the just life. We will dress like a Christian. We will not do things that do not please the Lord. We won't go places that displease the Lord. We won't say things that displease the Lord. We'll strive to be honest in all of our dealings and do right in all circumstances. I like Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, where the Bible says, he hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, Amen. To love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. You see, the just life is the only life that pleases the Lord. Amen. By the way, it's the only life that proves our love for him. Do you love Jesus? Oh, I love him. Just look at the bumper sticker on my car. I don't have one. I'm just saying what people say. Look at my t-shirt that I wear. Look at the hat that I have. Look at this, my screensaver on my computer. Look at my house at the Bible verses that are there. Of course I love Jesus. Do you know that's not the measure of loving Jesus? I'm not against those things. I'm glad you have them. In fact, I wish we'd have more of them. But that's not the way God measures it. 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Amen. And that his commandments are not grievous. That's how we show our love for the Lord. Not by our signs or our t-shirts or our hats, but how we obey him. We do what he tells us to do. 1 John 2:4, he that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. And again, this is the life that God desires all of his children to live. And that's the just life. Amen. So as you're looking at this choice to make, understand, if I'm going to please God, that's the way I need to go. So it's the life God desires. But I also notice, letter B, it's a life that is difficult. It's difficult. You say, wait a minute, I thought it was easy. No. You know, striving to live the just life's not easy. It's not. Psalm 34 and verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. You want to live for the Lord? Guess what? You're going to suffer affliction. Amen. You are. Acts 14:22. Imagine the Apostle Paul telling this new church there in the area of Galatia after they just placed pastors into this church. He says, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. He said, hey, you're glad you're saved? Wonderful. You want to make a difference in this world? Live for God. Praise God. Live for him. By the way, if you're going to do that, you're going to suffer much tribulation. It's not an easy path. It's difficult. Do you know, if you choose to live the Christian life and live this just life, that both lost people and carnal Christians are going to laugh at you? They're going to make fun of you. They're going to mock you. They'll say all kinds of things about you. They may call you goody two-shoes. I don't know if they use that phrase anymore. Goody, goody, whatever. They'll call you extreme. They'll call you fanatical. They'll call you over the top. They'll call you old-fashioned. They may even call you Neanderthal man. Come on, get with the times. Understand, if you choose this route, you will be in the minority. If you're one of those crowd people, guess what? You're in the wrong business here, right? Choosing the just life. Because there's times you're going to have to walk alone. Amen. Do you know, ever since Genesis chapter 3, the devil has launched an all-out attack on those that know God and want to live for God? He's after you. Have you ever noticed that the only group of people on the face of the earth that it is universally acceptable to mock and criticize and bully are the Bible-believing Christians that choose to live the Christian life? Everybody can jump on that bandwagon and nobody protests. When they hear at work, or when they hear when you're out and about or in those family gatherings among lost people, when they hear that you don't drink, when they hear that you don't curse, when you don't smoke and you don't chew, when they hear that maybe a young person you've determined in your heart to remain pure until you're married, or that you attend church three times a week, or that a husband or wife that you genuinely love your spouse and want to remain faithful to her, you're going to be laughed at. They're going to laugh at you. You don't drink. What do you mean you don't drink? Everybody drinks. No, I don't drink. You don't smoke. You don't do nothing. What do you do? What do you do with your life? Hey, you ever see this movie? I don't watch that kind of stuff. I don't even know what it is. I don't know what it is. What do you mean you don't watch that kind of stuff? I don't watch that kind of stuff. I say, well, where are you? What hole did you come out of? You must attend Capital Baptist Church or something. My point is this, be prepared. When you're at that crossroads and you say, hey, I don't want to walk the wicked life. I don't want to go that way. I want to walk the just life. Be prepared. It won't be easy. Amen. It'll be difficult. And again, you'll stand alone. So we see the clarification of the just life. And then we see the choice of the just life. But number three, it's going to get better here. How about the compensation?
Amen.
The compensation for the just life. You may be thinking this, wait a minute, preacher. If I'm saved and when I die, I go to heaven, no matter what, then why in the world would I choose all that? Why would I choose to do something and behave in a way where most of the people on the face of the earth are going to laugh at me and mock me and call me some kind of kook? Why in the world would I do that? Because the compensation's awesome.
Amen.
That's why. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10, listen closely, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. My point is this, there is compensation for living the just life.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. You see, we live the just life for these four reasons, and I'll go through them quickly. Number one is this, because the just life is a life God blesses.
Amen.
Go back to our text in verse 6. Notice the promise of God. Blessings are upon the head of the just. There it is. You say, wait, you just said it was difficult. It is, but God blesses us. Blessings, again, are upon the head of the just. Listen throughout the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 3:33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just.
Amen.
You want your home blessed of God? Choose the just life. Proverbs 12 and verse 13, the wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. Then Proverbs 12:21, there shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Again, why choose a just life? Because of the compensation God promises to bless the just life. And by the way, he promises to curse the wicked life.
Amen.
It's the second reason. It's not only the life God blesses, it's also the life God uses. Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You see, if you're here and you're saved and you want to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, if you want to reach lost people, if you want to see lives changed and people's eternal destinations go from eternity in hell to an eternity in heaven, understand something. It's not going to be done by living the wicked life.
Right. Amen.
It's going to be done by living the just life,
Amen.
Doing what's right. That's what it is. Proverbs 26 and verse 9 says this, as a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard. Now think about that for a moment. Man's drunk, his extremities don't feel, he gets numb, they got that proverbial buzz, and they don't feel a thing, and they could take a thorn and put it in their finger and not even feel it. As the thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. In other words, if you're living the life of the fool application, the life of the wicked, what you say isn't going to make a difference in their lives. It's not going to penetrate. Not going to reach them. By the way, it'll be by living the just life. Matthew 5:16, let your life so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
So why do it? Because it's the just life that God blesses. Also, it's the life God uses. And then number three, or letter C, write this down. It's the life that people remember.
Amen.
When you look back and think of someone you looked up to that made a difference in your life, I doubt it's the wicked man that did that. It's the just man. Look at our text in verse 7, Proverbs chapter 10. The memory of the just is blessed. You see, it is those that are living, that have chosen to live the just life, that are remembered in a positive way. Let me ask you something. If I were to ask you, who are these people in Scripture? Don't shout it out, okay? Just listen. Shemuah. Shaphat. Egal, Palti, Gadiel, Gadai, Amiel, Sether, Nabdi, Iguel. You probably say like me, who's that? Did you mess up some letters there and just say something? No. You know, most people would have no idea who they are. You know why? Those are the names of the 10 spies that chose their own way.
Right.
Not God's way. How about these two names? Joshua.
Amen.
Caleb.
Praise the Lord.
We remember them.
Right.
My point is this. Good men are long remembered. They're long remembered. The lives of just men, understand something, they remain a blessing to not only those around them, but also to their posterity. You see, when you and I choose to live the just life, we will be long remembered after we're gone.
Amen.
God will continue to use our lives as the said of Abel, he being dead yet speaketh. Our lives will speak on and on and on. It's only if we choose to live the just life, though.
Amen.
Well, by the way, who names their child Judas or Pontius? Or Cain, or Benedict Arnold. Here's my son, Benedict Arnold. Now, they name people all kinds of... I remember we were down in Florida one time, and we knocked on the door. First time this ever happened, and a girl answered, and we introduced ourselves. We were from the church there, and we invited her out to church, asked her name. She says, my name's Jezebel. Yeah, see the response we get? I thought the same thing. Wow, who would do that? Jezebel. I don't think she had any idea where it came from. I wasn't going to say, you know, your name's in the Bible. I didn't want to do that. But who makes a difference in our lives? Who is it that we remember for good? It's those godly grandparents.
Amen.
It's those godly parents. It's the memory of a godly friend or a neighbor or a ministry worker, pastor or staff person or co-worker. That's who we remember. We think back. I remember so-and-so when I was little, and we think about them. I remember my father's adopted grandma, and I remember her giving my brother a Bible. And I do. I don't remember a whole lot about it, but that part I remember about her, you know? Why is that? Because of what this Bible verse says. The memory of the just is blessed.
Amen.
It's blessed. Proverbs 20 and verse 7, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. You want to make a difference in your children's life and in your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren? The very best thing you can do is in that fork in the road, determine tonight, hey, I'm not going to live the wicked life. I'm not going to live the self-will life. I'm willing to be different. I want to live the just life for God, no matter what anybody says.
Amen.
And God will bless you for it. So it's a life God blesses. B, it's a life God uses. C, it's a life people remember. And then lastly, number four, letter D, it's the life God rewards.
Amen.
Oh yes, our life will be blessed on earth. That's what this verse says. But that's just a smidgen of what's beyond.
Hallelujah.
You see, our eternal reward does not come in this lifetime. Please don't miss that. So many people are looking for some great life here. You've got it wrong.
Amen.
This life is a life of battling and laboring and trying to do what God wants us to do and living right and fighting the good fight of faith.
Amen.
And we're going to have resistance all the way. Stop looking for paradise on earth. Say in your heart, no matter what my circumstances are, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to choose a just life.
Amen.
Because I'm not looking for my reward here.
Amen.
It comes in the next life. It comes when we leave this world. It comes at the judgment seat of Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. And understand, the just man realizes this.
Amen.
We're not looking for the immediate satisfaction that's part of the wicked life, because there's pleasure in sin for a season. We're looking long term.
Amen. Praise.
We're looking beyond the here and now. Because looking that way is childish.
Right.
You see, what do you mean by that? If you were to ask a small child, what do you want? A candy bar every day for the rest of your life starting right here? Or I'll take a dollar and put it in a bank account and give it to you later, okay? I'll give it to you 70 years from now, where you get a candy bar every day for the next 70 years. What do you think they'd say? Well, I want the candy bar. No kidding. That's how they live. They live for the now. But we're supposed to leave childish things,
amen,
not think like a child anymore,
amen,
and not think of the here and now. Think of the there and then. You see, don't think like a child. Think how this ends. When we're done this journey, when we're on the other side, that's when the reward comes, and we'll be rewarded if we choose to live the just life.
Amen.
You see, choosing to live the just life is wisdom from above.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have some difficulty now. Oh, yeah, they'll laugh at me. What are you doing on Wednesday night in a church? Wednesday night. You could be doing other things. You went Sunday. You go Wednesday too? What do you mean you don't go here? What do you mean you don't do that? Yeah, I get all that. There's going to be trouble here. When it's all said and done, we'll look back and say, I'm glad I chose a just life. Oh, we're not perfect. I get that. But I'm choosing that way because it's the life that God blesses. It's the life that God uses. It's the life that people are going to remember. And it's the life that God rewards. Wisdom from above.
Amen.
Choosing again to live the just life. Let's pray.